When you look around the world in which we live today, when you look around at your circumstances, when you look around at your life this week, what do you see? Well, there's lots of reasons that lots of people are living with crippling fear. You have to wonder how many people have been afraid to fly this last few days. Fear of the unknown. Fear of some things that really do happen. Perhaps you look around and you see lives in upheaval. There's many lives in upheaval throughout the world. The unrest in Egypt. Our economy, some of the things going on in the lives of our own people here. You see people living with unbearable pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, all sorts of hurts. All sorts of broken and missing relationships. Look inside of yourself, and what do you see there? Is what you see something like what we read in Galatians chapter 5? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, evil, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. When you looked in the mirror today, is that the sort of thing that you saw? What about when you look up, what do you see? When you look up towards the heavens, do you see an angry God who's out to get you? Do you look at your circumstances and you look inside of yourself and say, oh, God just wants to get even with me. God's not doing anything good in my life. You see a busy God who doesn't have time to take care of your needs or to answer your prayers or to listen to you speak? When you look into the Word of God, do you see a silent God who doesn't speak? Maybe you look and you see a God who you think ought to be under your control and he's not playing along with what you want. If those things are what describe you today, then you're having a bad day. You're having a bad day when you're overwhelmed by circumstances and events around you, when you're discouraged with your own self, and when God seems so far away. If you're having a bad day, you need an attitude adjustment, and it's time for you to come back to reality. You see the events that we read of in the newspaper and the things we see in our own hearts and the things that we sometimes think about God really aren't reality. So let's start over again and ask the same questions, but this time let's look at reality. Look around. What do you see? Reality is, according to Psalm 33:5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It doesn't make the headlines very often in the newspaper, does it? Psalm 119:64 says much the same thing. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. And I have some words throughout this PowerPoint in a red font, a dark red. And those words all come from the same Hebrew word. That's kind of the direction that we want to go tonight, is focusing on that word. When you look around, the world isn't dominated by civil unrest and shaky economies and airplane crashes. According to the Word of God, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. But with all of the evil and sorrow that's in the world today, with all of the bad things that happen in the world, with all the things you face in your life every day, how can we believe that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord? After all, this isn't just a Bible verse. This is a statement of reality. This is a statement of truth. It is easy at times for some of us to get into an autopilot sort of mode, an automatic sort of mode where we're reading God's word and we see the words on the paper and we never really stop and ponder and think about the significance of what they're saying. And it's just like we're going through the motions of having our devotions every day, and we just sort of say, yeah, that's what God's word says, but it doesn't make a difference. Last week I read Psalm 33:5, and I stopped. And I said, that's an awesome verse. That is a really, really special truth. The Psalms aren't just something you chalk up to poetry and say, oh, the psalmist David or whoever it was just writing poetically. And when we say that, what we're saying is it really doesn't mean what it says. We have this way sometimes. We put poetry in the category of something other than truth. But what I need us to understand tonight is that God's word tells us that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Forget about looking around at the newspaper headlines. Forget about looking at what's in your checking account balance. Forget about looking at all the things that need to be done in your life and all of your medical needs and everything that you lack. And ponder for a moment about the fact that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So let me ask you the question that I asked in the slide there and get some answers. How can we believe that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord with everything that's going on in the world around us? Did y'all notice that? Were all you standing at the east windows of your house this morning in the darkness just checking to see if the sun was going to come up this morning? You know what? Not only did it come up, it came up on schedule. It wasn't late. What else? What's out there to convince us that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord? What's that? The heavens declare the glory of God. How can you look at creation and not see God's goodness? Not only did the sun come up this morning, but we got up this morning. At some point in the day today, every one of you got out of bed. What else? I trust that none of you spend your days fretting about what's going to happen tomorrow. We have this absolute confidence in God. He knows what's coming. Our lives are in His hands. The crops are growing. The cattle are getting fatter. We're going to have food tomorrow and the day after that, aren't we? What's that? God willing, yeah. Karen? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Well, we need to take a few minutes, and we'll pass around microphones this time. We need to praise God for his goodness that fills the earth. And let's just take some time and praise God for the evidences we see of his working all around us. Is there two people that will do the microphones for us? I just need to decide how much of the devotional we want to do this evening. I like to take the time for prayer requests and prayer, and I find that to be a profitable use of our time. So I asked you three questions when we started. Look around you, what do you see? Look inside of you, what do you see? Look up and what do you see? And so often we look at all the negatives, we see all the bad things that are happening, we look at ourselves and we get discouraged because of our weaknesses and our sins. But as you look inside, what do you see? Are you discouraged by your sin, your weaknesses? Are you frustrated because things aren't going the way you'd like them to go? You sometimes think it isn't worth it, that you'd be better off if you weren't a Christian? Well, obviously, if you're thinking those things, you're having a bad day. You need an attitude adjustment, and you need to get back to reality. The reality is, according to Psalm chapter 4, there are many who say, who will show us any good? And it seems that Psalmist is saying there that the world is going to be looking at us and saying, you know, things aren't going well. Where are they going to get anything good from? They're just going to be a poor, struggling group of people. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season when their grain and wine increased. So our unbelieving friends and family members, they have a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of joy, and they do an awful lot of partying when things go well, when they get the new job, when they get the pay raise, when they get the bonus, when they, you know, whatever the reason is. Unbelievers' hearts can be encouraged and can be lifted up, and they can be joyful and they can be happy in the circumstances. What Psalm 4:7 is telling us, that what the Lord does in our hearts is more meaningful, more valuable, more lasting, more impactful than all of the good things that the world gets in the way of the physical things that they get, the material blessings. What God does in us is more important and is of more impact than all of the good that happened to our unbelieving friends and family members. The reality is, don't look inside of yourself and see how bad of a person you are and how badly you struggle with sin and all those things. Rejoice in what God has done in your life, and the gladness that he's put in your heart, and how very precious that is to us. The reality is, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. In one sense, we don't experience sorrows and griefs and heartaches the way unbelievers do. Because even in the midst of those things, God's mercy surrounds us, and he is full of merciful hugs to his struggling people. Look at these verses. Our heart shall rejoice in him. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. The righteous will be glad in the Lord. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. What a contrast that verse contains. Acknowledge that we experience many of the same hardships, the same sorrows, the same sort of things in our lives come our way as unbelievers. But in the multitude of all those things going on within us, God comforts. God's comfort delights our soul. Look at those are all positive, strong, encouraging, wonderful words. We rejoice in him. We boast in him. We're joyful in him. We're glad in him. His comforts delight my soul. We are not victims of circumstances. We're the recipients of the benevolent, abundant graciousness of our Heavenly Father. Knowing the truth that God's working in us is far superior to any wealth or prosperity that the unsaved has, where is there any room for being discouraged or frustrated, discouraged with our circumstances, frustrated with how things are going, or where is there any room for envying the seeming good things that the unbelievers get? There is none. We rejoice in Him. We boast in Him. We're glad in Him. His comforts delight us. I put Psalm 68:19 up there in three different translations because it's a difficult verse to translate, and the English Standard Version and the New International and the New King James all translate it significantly differently, but they're all using the same Hebrew text in doing that. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation, is what the ESV says. Praise to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. So the NIV says He bears our burdens. The ESV says that He bears us up. The New King James says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And you sort of get an idea of the challenge that the translators have when you take out the italicized words from the New King James, where it says, blessed the Lord, daily loads us, the God of our salvation. That's really kind of the rough Hebrew that the translators have to work with. Is He bearing us up? Is He bearing our burdens? Or is he putting benefits upon us? It is three different approaches. But perhaps the truth is all of them. And the reality is that there's nothing that comes our way, but that God isn't there sustaining us through it. And in the midst of it, He gives us the ability to rejoice in Him and boast in Him and be glad in Him and delight in Him.